Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 10, verses 22 through 30, and reads as follows. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word. Even though thousands of people heard Jesus preach and witnessed his miracles, most of them did not believe on him as their Savior and Redeemer. Some of them did consider him to be the Messiah, but had some very wrong ideas about the Messiah, thinking of him as an earthly king. And they despised the true mission of Christ, and they despised his gospel, the saving message of forgiveness, as foolishness. According to the scriptures, that is the case with all people by nature. In our natural condition, we all would only reject the gospel as foolishness. It's really only by the power of God the Holy Ghost that in us our hearts have been converted. He's overcome our stubborn unbelief, and we now hold to and rejoice in the saving gospel of our dear Lord Jesus. But the acceptance of the Bible as the true and authoritative Word of God is a fruit of faith and therefore cannot be thought of as preceding or coming before faith. Hence, we cannot expect unbelievers to accept the Bible as the true and authoritative Word of God. On the contrary, we should expect the opposite, that they will reject it, that they'll set their hearts and minds against the wonderful teachings of Holy Scripture. But a person who has been brought to saving faith in Christ Jesus will regard the Bible as the Word of God and as his most precious treasure, holding fast to every word of the Scriptures and not desiring to give up a single one of them. Jesus says, If a man love me, he will keep my words. And again, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And again, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye, unbelievers, therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Likewise, in our text for today, Jesus says, My sheep hear my voice. For unlike the unbelievers who were talking to Jesus in our text, believers receive Christ as their Savior and are graciously received by Him. We shall see in the first place that Jesus' miracles showed Him to be the Messiah and the Son of God. Secondly, that true believers hear the voice of Christ and follow Him. And thirdly, that Jesus graciously receives the believers and gives them eternal life. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of His Word in your hearts and in your lives. The first two verses of our text set forth the time and place for what follows. We read, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch." It was on that occasion that a group of unbelieving Jews surrounded Jesus and sought to provoke him to say some words that they could use against him and accuse him of blasphemy. Our text tells us, "Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Notice that they basically accuse Jesus of hiding his identity from them, or giving them mixed messages, or at least being vague about who he was. In response, Jesus immediately rejects their assertion that he had been unclear about his messiahship, who he is. But even though he had been clear, there was a reason they accused him of being unclear, and that reason was their unbelief. They refused to believe and accept his clear statements about himself. We read in our text, "Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." So even though Jesus had made it clear with his words to the Jews that he is the Messiah, the very Son of God, he also points them here to evidence that they could still see even if they persisted in rejecting his words. He pointed them to his works, his miracles, which should have convinced them of the truth of his claims that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, actually proving that he is what he says. It's very easy for anyone to claim to be anything they want. Any false prophet could claim to be Christ, could claim to be the Son of God, but proving it would be another matter entirely. How could he prove it? Well, Jesus proved it by doing the works of God in his miracles. That was powerful proof that he is the Messiah, the very Son of God. Now, none of this should be taken as meaning the miracles that Christ performed were in and of themselves means of grace that would bring a person to saving faith in him. His miracles didn't do that. But his miracles could convince the people, and should have convinced them, that Jesus was indeed, at the very least, a teacher come from God whose words they should respect. As Nicodemus, the Pharisee, confessed to Jesus, saying, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now, that was actually not an expression of saving faith on the part of Nicodemus. He was an unbeliever at that time. He does not confess his sins. He does not express trust in Jesus as his Savior. But he was acknowledging that Jesus' miracles showed him, at least, to be a teacher come from God. Now, the Jews in our text were clearly rejecting Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior from sin. But they still should have been able to acknowledge on the basis of his miracles that anyone who could do such things must be a man of God. God's working with him. Recorded just a few verses after our text, so if you have your Bibles open to John chapter 10, you can look at verses 37 and 38, where Jesus told the Jews, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Yes, the miracles that Jesus performed, in addition to being very helpful to those who were in need, gave evidence of the fact that he is the Messiah, foretold in the Old Testament scriptures. You may remember how Jesus responded to two of John the Baptist's disciples who came to him with this question. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? He told them to observe. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. Which was a clear reference to a messianic prophecy recorded in Isaiah 35, where we read, Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. So Jesus had given plenty of evidence, both verbal and visual, both in his words and in his miracles, showing that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. But the unbelieving Jews in our text simply refused to believe any of the evidence that Christ provided. And the basic reason for that was they were not Jesus' sheep. They were not true Christians. Thus the Lord describes them in the next verse of our text. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. People show that they are not Jesus' sheep, that they are unbelievers, not only when they openly disavow Jesus and verbally say that they want nothing to do with Christianity, but also when they simply refuse to listen to the words of Christ. There are those who call themselves Christians, but who just do not want to follow his word, either law or gospel. Even to hear the word of God without truly believing it or following it just makes a person a hypocrite, concerning whom the Lord Jesus asks rhetorically in the gospel according to St. Luke, Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? In contrast to the unbelievers who refuse to believe and follow the words of the Savior, true Christians are described by Jesus in the next verse of our text in this way. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So the behavior of the sheep is the exact opposite of the unbelieving Jews in our text. Whereas those unbelievers just refuse to accept Jesus' words or his miracles as evidence of his divine messiahship, his sheep do hear his voice, and they follow him. And that obedience of the sheep toward their good shepherd is not forced upon them by a mean, fearsome, tyrannical shepherd, but it is prompted instead by the Good Shepherd's great love. The Good Shepherd, as we heard in our gospel lesson for today, lays down his life for the sheep, saved his sheep with his own precious blood. And it's that love of the Good Shepherd toward the sheep that causes the sheep then to love the Good Shepherd and cheerfully to follow his voice, to believe on him. Now, when Jesus says in our text that he knows his sheep, he is speaking of a special knowledge that's not just omniscience. Omniscience, that God knows all things, would include all the unbelievers too. But concerning his sheep, he knows them in a special way. He knows them as his beloved followers, his believing disciples, his beloved sheep. He knows them with love and affection. He knows that they know him as their dear Savior. He knows that they trust in him, that they look to him for his gracious help in every area of their lives. Jesus' knowledge of his sheep includes a perfect understanding of the specific needs of each and every one of them. And that loving knowledge also includes the wisdom with which he cares for his sheep. It is important to remember that Jesus' love and care for his sheep is not at all the result of the sheep earning that love or being so lovable in and of themselves. We, the sheep, don't earn Christ's love. In fact, because of our sins, we deserve the exact opposite of God's love and kindness. We deserve his wrath and displeasure, death and damnation. But the Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, does love us and care for us for his own sake, on account of his righteousness, which covers all of our transgressions. The scriptures clearly testify. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, declared righteous, forgiven, freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Though we have only merited condemnation, death, damnation in hell because of our sins, yet Jesus declares in the next verse of our text, "And I give unto them," the believers, his sheep, "eternal life." What an amazing gift. The gift of eternal life, everlasting joy and bliss in heaven. That's what Christ purchased for us with his holy, precious blood, with his innocent suffering and death. And while that precious gift of salvation really has been earned, purchased, and won for all people, it is only the sheep of Christ who receive it through faith. The unbelievers despise the gift, do not receive it, and are eternally damned. Notice how both of these points, eternal life given to the believers and eternal condemnation awaiting the unbelievers, how these points are brought out so clearly in John chapter 3, where we read, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then at the end of the chapter, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." While the certainty of salvation does belong to Christians, the sheep of Christ, it does not belong to those who maybe even used to be Christians for a time, but then turned away from their good shepherd, grew to despise his word, fell into unbelief, made shipwreck of their faith. The Calvinistic Reformed deny the possibility that a person can lose his faith. But the scriptures make it very clear that it can indeed happen. Christians can, and sometimes do, turn away from God, reject his word, and lose the benefits of the gospel. So then, how can you or I be confident that we'll continue in the faith? Especially when we think about all the powerful enemies, the devil, the world, and our flesh, which consistently attack us and seek to undermine our faith in Christ Jesus and pull us away from his saving word. Well, thankfully, it is the gracious and powerful work of God, not we ourselves, who is responsible for keeping us in the faith. God and his power is what builds us up and establishes us in the faith, so that no enemy, not even Satan himself, can pull us away from God unless we ourselves would just walk away from God. No, we are safe in the powerful, loving hand of the Lord. Nothing can overcome the power of God. Knowing that we are held in the hand of the Lord should assure us, his sheep, that we are protected, that we are saved, that we are safe, and that we will be eternally saved by God's grace. In the last verses of our text, Jesus describes his sheep as being safe in his hand, which is the same as being safe in the hand of the Heavenly Father. We read, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." While anti-Trinitarians deny that these last words of our text set forth the oneness of essence between the first and second persons of the Trinity, Jesus and God the Father, the verses that come after our text, in verses 31 through 33, show that the unbelieving Jews did correctly understand Jesus' words, in which he sets forth his own equality with God the Father. And they wanted to stone him because of those words. As long as we do not turn ourselves away from God and despise the gospel and cut ourselves off from his saving grace, we can be certain that we will go to heaven. We can be certain that the Lord will preserve us in our saving faith. And that is not sinful self-confidence. Our confidence is not in ourselves and our own strength. But our confidence is in the Lord and his sure promises. He cannot, he will not ever lie or break his promise. He says in the Scriptures, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." So even though we have enemies who are far more powerful than we are, nothing's more powerful than God. And he's our protector. He's the one who keeps us safe in his most powerful, gracious hand. So, let us ever be thankful that the Lord Jesus, the Almighty Son of God, is watching over us and protecting us as our good shepherd. That he's given us his inspired word to be our constant guide in all matters dealing with our Christian faith and life. Through the working of the Holy Spirit, he causes us to hear his word, hearken to his voice, follow him in true faith. And he's promised to preserve and protect his flock from all the spiritual harm and danger that surrounds us in this life, and finally, bring us into the heavenly pastures of eternal glory in heaven. All on account of what he, our good shepherd, did for us, laying down his life for the sheep, saving us from the punishment that we deserve. So let us never follow the devil, the world, or our sinful flesh away from Christ, but always cling firmly to him as our dear Savior, protector, counselor, friend, our truly good and gracious shepherd. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.